Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. A few years ago, a very patriotic story came out of something that happened on a July 4th weekend. An Army vet saved a bald eagle. His name was Jason Galvin, and he noticed something hanging from a tree as he was driving out in the middle of what we would say nowhere land in Minnesota. And very rural area, lots of space, but he noticed this something in a tree, and it turned out to be a bald eagle that had been trapped there for a couple days. Local authorities were going to call it a loss because this bird looked like it was dead already. Galvin, however, had hope and a plan. He shot at the rope that was trapping the eagle, and after a couple hours and almost 200 shots, the bird, nicknamed Freedom by some of the neighbors, was freed. It was pretty emotional, Galvin said. Well, as we turn to the New Testament, we remember Paul the Apostle, who wrote the letter to the Galatians, which is really the epistle of freedom in the New Testament, at least one of them. Paul was trained as a Pharisee. The Pharisees were very zealous about the Old Testament law codes. Their view seems to have been that the day of the Lord had not arrived to rescue them from the Romans because people were not following the law. And of course, when we talk about the Old Testament law, we're not talking about stop signs. We're talking about dietary codes, cleanliness codes, the Ten Commandments, chapters and chapters of guidelines on how you were supposed to live life. And the Pharisees were very big on that. And if you didn't kind of dot the I's and cross the T's, God wasn't happy and you were disobedient to God, and this was their explanation as to why the day of the Lord had not come. Well, Paul was one of these Pharisees, and he was persecuting Christians. He was trying to find them, to persecute them, and then on the road to Damascus, he had a mystical experience with the risen Christ. He realized that God had a bigger plan for humanity that included everyone, the Gentiles or the non-Jews also. And so while the law was designed for a purpose in time, faith in Christ, Paul is going to argue, supersedes and transcends the law. Doesn't necessarily contradict it, at least not the principles of the law, but it transcends the law because, as Deacon Andrea showed us, we can have Christ living within. So Galatians actually gives some important background to this little passage that we're going to read. Mainly, Paul had conferred at some point with the apostles in Jerusalem and who didn't know him. Paul never met Jesus. So they're probably like, who's this guy? He didn't follow Jesus around. Who is this guy? But he had this experience with Christ on the road. So he explained this to them, kind of presented his creds, if you will, and eventually they gave Paul their blessing to take the message of Christ to the Gentiles. And this would sort of continue that the apostles and the disciples who became apostles would continue to bring their message as the completion of Judaism to their own people, where Paul basically had the rest of the world to cover. That was kind of how they divided up the territory. Peter is a bit of a crossover in this story. Peter, again, also a Jew, disciple of Jesus turned apostle, has received a revelation from God that he is not supposed to consider Gentiles unclean or impure because they were Gentiles. He couldn't believe it. So God basically gave it to him a couple times there in series. But Paul tells us in Galatians that in certain situations, Peter changed his behavior depending on who was around. Now, in the ancient Near East, the sign of fellowship was that you shared a table together. So when they were in Antioch, a non-Jewish town, although there would have been Jews scattered throughout the ancient Near East, Peter was very comfortable eating with the Gentiles. But when some of the Jerusalem Christians showed up, Peter changed his behavior and he wouldn't do it anymore. And Paul called him out on it in a very big way, probably using language that I wouldn't use in church. Paul was a very fiery individual. And so Peter would draw back when the Jerusalem Christians showed up, and Paul said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's not the way we do it anymore. Our world, our theology has changed. He said, this simply can't be that now there is Jew and Gentile, and he'll argue against that as well. But he's saying, this, we're separated, Jew and Gentile, because of the law. The Gentiles don't have the law, the Jews do. But Paul is saying the law is no longer of consequence, because if we still need the law, Christ died for nothing. So I've given you all that backdrop, and now here's the short passage. Let me explain it like this, Paul says in chapter 2, verse 19. Through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I've been crucified with the Messiah. I am, however, alive. But it isn't me any longer. It's the Messiah who lives in me. And the life I do still live in the flesh, I live within the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is essentially saying here, I have been through a co-crucifixion with Christ and a co-resurrection. It's our faith in Christ that makes us right, not the works of the law. It's our faith that makes us right, not the works of the law. Some of our folks here at St. Andrew's are studying Romans. And by the way, that's happening online as well as live. And they've gone into the details of this. Some would say the weeds of it, because it gets complicated. But this is a very, very important concept to understand in Paul. And it's really earth-shattering to think that a Pharisee would be walking around saying, we don't get to God by works of the law. That was just revolutionary. What do you mean? It's by faith. Well, that is what Paul is saying. And it leaves a lot to think about. Like, how do we do that? How do we live to God? He says he's living to God now. He's living within the faithfulness of the Son of God. How do we do that? A couple things I thought about this week. First thing that happens when we begin to do that is our priorities change. No one's a better example of this than Paul. He went from persecuting Jews who had become Christians to himself becoming one of the world's most daring spokesmen for Jesus. Complete transformation here. And as we fall in love with knowing God, with worship, with scripture and spiritual reading, our priorities changed. Have any of you experienced that? That your priorities changed. We're not content with just going to church on Christmas and Easter. We tune in live. We assemble. We hunger for God. We grow deeper in faith. One of my conversation partners at the local coffee shop before the pandemic was someone that I knew from the holistic health world, of which I'm a part. And he had an experience of knowing God through Christ. He said to me, we talked about it for quite a while, he said, you know, I grew up on the West Coast, and I had no religion. And he said, now, I just can't get enough of Jesus. I just can't get enough. When we meet the risen Christ, our priorities change. And we might ask ourselves, do my priorities reflect a passion, an excitement, an enthusiasm for living with the Son of God within, enlivening us, bringing abundant life to us? Have my priorities changed? Likely they have. The other thing that happens is our orientation to life changes. Our perspective is different. Our opinions may shift. We may find ourselves naturally letting go of opinions, routines, or worries or habits because we just don't need them anymore. We found something better. I do think that being alive to life through the Messiah and faithful to God through our faith in Christ wakes us up. And waking up can change the way that we see things when we wake up spiritually. It may be a little fuzzy at first. It may be a while before we bring it around to, oh, this is Christ doing this. A few years ago, I was talking to a woman who had a spiritual awakening in her life. She was a mom and a wife and a businesswoman, and for whatever reason, some past stresses and memories came into her life. They came to the surface, and there was a crisis as things sort of bubbled up in her life. So she worked through this by rooting down into meditation and exercise and other practices. She emerged from the crisis a very different person, more calm, more rooted, not just smart, which she always was, but wiser too, more insight into her life and the lives of others. She began to explore, what's this all mean anyway? I said to her as I was listening, after I listened, I said, it sounds like quite an awakening that you've been through. What do you think as you look back on where you've been? Her answer actually kind of surprised me because the first thing she said, well, you know, in some ways it was easier before. I said, really? What, it was easier before? She said, well, yeah, because I never really thought too much about anything. I just sort of went with the flow, did what other people did. She said, it's not that way anymore. I see things I didn't see. I wrestle with things that I used to ignore. And then she took a breath and she said, but you know what? I would never go back. It's so much more meaningful to live my life with my eyes open. Sometimes living the life of meaning may actually be the harder road in some ways, but it's actually the only road to an authentic life. Last but not least, we become Messiah people. When Christ comes into our lives, our full humanity, in terms of being made in the image of God, that begins to heal. Remember the Gospel of John. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Our very nature as human beings has been recovered, redeemed by Jesus. It's a possibility we can wake up to and live into. And we're motivated then to do God's work in the world. In the words of Martin Luther, we ourselves become, you become, little Christs. That was Luther's term, little Christs. This week I came across a story of evangelical and social justice activist Shane Claiborne, and he writes about time he spent in Mother Teresa's mission in India. He writes, people often ask me what Mother Teresa was like. Sometimes it's like they wonder if she glowed in the dark or had a halo or something. Actually, she was short, wrinkled, and precious, maybe even a little ornery, like a beautiful, wise old granny. But there was one thing I will never forget, her feet. Her feet were deformed. Each morning in Mass, I would stare at them. I wondered if she had contracted leprosy, but I wasn't going to ask, of course. Hey, Mother, what's wrong with your feet? One day, a sister said to us, have you noticed her feet? We nodded. Yes, we noticed. She said, her feet are deformed because we get just enough donated shoes for everyone, and Mother does not want anyone else to get stuck with the worst pair. So she digs through the pile and she finds the very, very worst ones and she claims those. And years of doing that have deformed her feet. Years of loving her neighbor as herself deformed her feet. That's a dramatic example of a little Christ here on earth, someone caring for others. I don't know that we're called to have deformed feet for the sake of our faith, but it could be that there are other ways to sacrifice and to serve, that as we practice the teachings of Jesus, we might be a part of the change that God wants to bring to the world. And I think we are called to explore these opportunities. How are we to be the little Christs on earth, with Christ living, dwelling within, and motivating us to a bigger story? And you know what? That might sound kind of heavy, but it's actually not a burden. It's actually a privilege. It might be a burden in our mind, but once we start doing it, we realize that's the most joyful life we could live. Whenever we serve another, whenever we meet face to face with someone in need and we meet that need, it will be those moments are some of the most life-changing moments you will ever have, and you will remember them. You may forget, oh, you know, I woke up on a Sunday somewhere in 2020, 21, and I had a cup of coffee and I read the newspaper or my iPad. You'll forget that. But if you come to church and say, go on a mission afterward or something like that, and someone's life has changed, you'll remember that till the day you die. That's the power of living in Christ. We can live to God. We can be people filled with the presence of Christ each moment, each day. It takes a bit of practice. But as we learn and we implement Jesus' teachings, we begin to embody them, and we have help because Christ dwells within. We don't do this. We don't do this thing called Christianity through on our own. We do it with Christ in us. How will your life be different this week because Christ lives in you? Let's pray. Almighty God, we read someone like the Apostle Paul. We hear the example of someone like Mother Teresa and we wonder, well, how in the world could that be me? And in fact, it's never going to be us. It's going to be you in us, you co-creating with us. In the same way that we were co-crucified, co-resurrected with you, we are about the business of co-creating the kingdom of God in the world. Enliven us, O God. Strengthen us, empower us, motivate us. Help us to hunger for that, that we might truly learn what we are here on earth to do. In the name of Christ we pray, amen.